Rises Friar Gabriel Mary Cortez. I'm interviewing Troy and Nari Kiernan. We're here in Malins, Perth, WA, and this is a beautiful Catholic family who are very excited about their faith, and I'm just interviewing them because they're such an edifying couple. So just to kind of drill them with a few questions about their daily life and about the faith that they take so seriously, the masses that they attend with such devotion, and the wonderful children that they've raised so far, the young children. And I believe the eldest, Philomena, has just received her first Holy Communion
just yesterday.
So okay. This is a beautiful Catholic family. It's a tremendous privilege to come to this house when the opportunity arises. And so hopefully the viewers of this video will be edified by what they have to say, what they have to share. So how long have you been married for?
Last December, it was 8 years.
8 years, okay. I did have to ask you how many years that was, because I did actually have the privilege of participating in the wedding. I couldn't recall how many years ago, because it's been a while.
Yeah.
So it's been, time flies, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It seems like yesterday it was Father Raphael that married us in Bassendean, in the little town that I grew up in Perth. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're from Bassendean here. You're a local. I mean, you're still here, kind of just right down the road.
That's right.
We're in Malins, right?
That's right. Malins. Yeah, just a couple of suburbs up. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And so Nari, you're from, where are you from?
I'm from a neighbouring suburb also, Darnella. So we've both just moved, really 10 minutes away from where we started.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I found it was a beautiful thing was that Nari has actually lived in the same house all her life, and then it was just nice to have that, where Nari's first time she moved out was into marriage. It's, I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, to live in the same house the whole life, and then
it's very stable
upbringing, I guess. Yeah.
So now that you're married, I mean, obviously that both of you have like kind of gradually developed your faith, have become greater and stronger Christians, Catholics. I understand that you kind of were involved in a bit of a community that's kind of like charismatic at its roots, and how you did it. You work with street kids, and how that had a tremendous impact on your life. And just share with us a little bit about that, and also you, how you kind of met, because I believe
you met in
that context.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and how you, just kind of mention quickly for our viewers, how your journey and your prayer life had solidified your relationship and eventual marriage.
Yeah. Well, I guess the way I came across the community that worked with street kids, I guess maybe I was one of their young people that they were trying to evangelise. I was a little bit wayward in my teenage years, you know, but had been brought up in a good Catholic home, but had moved away from the faith. And as a teenager, I was a little bit rebellious, and I met these people at a party. And but I had that grounding in the Catholic faith, and I was quite responsive to what they had to say. You know, they spoke like they knew God, you know, and that was very attractive for me. So at first, when I started with them, I was probably at one stage probably considered, what would you say, ministry. For them, you know, but then I got more and more involved, and became good friends with all the street kids, and tried to bring the faith to them, that was an interesting part of my life, and I'm very blessed to meet my future wife at the community, Nari, and. And it's been, nothing but blessings ever since then. Especially in my vocation of marriage, I feel that God has been able to bless bless me and give me the graces that I've needed to grow up to a certain extent, you know. And as a single man, I'm still trying to grow up, as Nari would tell me, you know. The single man comes out every now and then, but, you know, God gives, is continuing to hopefully give me the grace to, you know, I guess embrace married life. And I've found that the more that I've embraced the I guess the crosses that come along with married life and children, the more I've embraced it, the more joy I've received from it, you know.
Right. And I think that's something our viewers need to hear, because the people who might be watching, you know, the mothers and the fathers who might be watching this program, will need to hear those sorts of things, because we're all kind of journeying. We all have our own individual journeys. We all have our own individual lives, and so the things that that make us human are very common. And so, like, people who are struggling, like as the saying goes, you know, misery loves company. So if you're having a struggle, and you kind of want to see other people handling that struggle, that same struggle. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is going to be very useful for people to hear that, like, how you, you know, kind of handle family life, how you handle your children. And because I know your children very well, how they're very well behaved. They're very pious. I mean, you actually named them after saints. All of your children are, for the most part, at least, are named after saints.
That's right.
Can you tell our audience what their names are from start to?
So we have our eldest daughter is 7. Her name is Philomena.
After Saint Philomena,
yes,
the martyr, right?
Yeah, just Saint Philomena. And our second son, sorry, our second child, Alphonsus, he's 6. So after Alphonsus Liguori.
Okay, doctor of the church.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then Rosa Mystica. So we wanted to name a child after Our Lady, but also St. Rosa of Lima, obviously a great saint.
How old is she?
Rosa has just turned 4.
Okay. Rosa Mystica, Mystical Rose, which is one of the titles in the Litany of Loreto.
Yeah.
So that's...
Young Joseph.
He's 2 years old, yeah.
Every Catholic family needs to have a Joseph.
Needs to have a Joseph in the family, yeah.
But I guess that's the good thing about being Catholic. It's, you know, it's very easy to find names for your children, you know.
Yeah, very that's unique names.
Yeah.
Very...
And the children really love they're really proud of their saints. They really love that.
Mm.
And I find for us as well, like that when we are choosing saint names, it's a real treasure. It's a treasure to, you know, befriend that saint and really ask for their intercession for that child. It's a really fun part of having a baby, I suppose, getting to choose that sign.
And you'll be thinking, I'm sure you'll be thinking now about the baby who's on the way.
That's right.
You know, I don't know if you've had it picked out, but once it's born, you'll know what name to pick.
That's right.
To choose.
Yep.
So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
So you had to, I mean, as you mentioned earlier before the interview, you had to discern your vocation, because you were actually contemplating religious life.
That's correct.
And you were actually discerning whether you should become a religious or should get married, or what your vocation. And you probably did the same thing, because you were in the Legion of Mary, weren't you?
That's right, we were in the Legion together.
And so you worked hand in hand in the Legion of Mary.
That's
probably
right.
Distributing medals.
That's right.
Because I know they're very apostolic in that regard, and all of their apostolic work, very much like ours, has a Marian dimension to it.
That's right.
Because
yes.
It's the Legion of Mary. So tell us a little bit how you actually came to the awareness, the understanding that your vocation was actually marriage, and that you were to, solidify that with the sacrament.
Well, for me, I was, I guess, to a certain extent, waiting for God to appear to me and tell me what to do.
As most people would love to hear.
Yeah, and so I was waiting for that to happen. That didn't happen, what really clinched it for me was I'd asked Nari to pray that I'd meet the Holy Father, and I was going to Rome for a holiday, and she said, "Okay, I'll pray to Saint Philomena for you, that you meet the Holy Father." So as it turned out, I met the Holy Father on Saint Philomena's feast day, and for me that was good enough. You know, I didn't need God to appear to me and tell me, you know, to get married, but it was enough for me to realize that, well, if God is answering the prayers of your future wife, you know, That's good enough, you know. If he listens to her prayers for me, then that was a good sign that I was doing the right thing to get married, you know.
Okay, so that was a powerful confirmation.
Yeah, and that's why our first daughter is named Philomena, because if you promise something, we from that moment on, once we decided to get married, we said, right, the first daughter will be named Philomena, and if you know anything about Saint Philomena, you don't back out on that, you know.
She's a feisty.
She's a feisty saint, and if you back out on that and name your daughter something else, you know, watch out.
Yeah, see, this is how real the Catholic faith is to you. You take these things so seriously, whereas people of the world would, like, probably, you might just as well speak Spanish to them, because they would have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you're actually imploring someone who has passed away centuries ago, but which you believe is now sanctified, which we know is canonized by the church, and who, as our Lord himself taught in the gospel, you know, they are not dead, but they are alive, you know, as, you know, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. So some people, like the people of the world who don't understand the Christian faith, they look at these people, the people that we consider saints, as they're dead. You know, but these people are alive for us, and they are alive to God.
Yeah.
And so this is how, this is, I mean, this, we know as Catholics that this is so real, and this dominates.
Oh, treasured friends,
yeah, and it's just, this colors every aspect of your life, your work. You're a plumber by trade, and I liked how you put that before the interview, that you consider yourself, you don't define yourself as a plumber, you define yourself as a child of God, and you do plumbing on the side. I like that, because it's a means to an end. You support your family by that trade. So tell us a little bit about your daily life and how the dynamism of the Catholic faith just kind of permeates your whole mentality, the friends that you choose, the places that you go, the things, you know, the recreation that you have, and how all of your family activities kind of revolve around the Catholic faith since you take it so seriously, and how it's just quite obvious that... that's why it's such a blessing to come to your house, because you're such good company, and it's hard to find. So if you could share a little bit about that.
I'll let Nari speak.
My day's a little bit different.
My day's a little bit probably more occupied with and plumbing and whatnot. But I get filled in when I come home on the day's activities. And Nari's such a hard worker. You know, I feel like... I get it easy, you know, to running off and doing plumbing. But I guess I'd get Nari to answer, you know, how she incorporates the Catholic faith and whatnot into it.
It is. It's a massive, children. Obviously for the children, it's a massive part of our day. But before, I suppose, moving away from you, I do find with Troy's work in plumbing, quite often you'll come home with stories, you know, getting apprentices through or fellows, you know, who've had no contact with the faith. And I'd say that is a gift that Troy has, like, really to speak openly with those guys about the lives that they're all leading. And you get along really well. It's not it's not that you're talking down to them or anything, but even though your work has nothing to do with the faith, like, it really is a great opportunity to evangelize. You meet a lot of different people.
Quickly share one story about my apprentice. And we were having a discussion on the moral issues of abortion, as you do on the work site. And he was saying to me, you know, I'm an apprentice, you know, I earn $250 a week, you know. What if my girlfriend gets pregnant, you know. He obviously wasn't practicing any kind of faith, but I said, well, you know, it's still morally wrong, obviously, to abort that child. And anyway, this other tradesman walked past, and he yelled out to the tradesman, "Hey, Jed, what do you think about this?" And he gave him the rundown. You know, oh, I'm an apprentice. I only earn $250 a week. You know, what if I get my girlfriend pregnant like this? And this tradesman, who wasn't a Catholic, he wasn't practicing in any way, he scratched his head, and he said, "Well, I don't think I can kill someone for $250. and I'm just like, my mouth sort of dropped, you know. to be, you know, such pearls of wisdom from someone who wasn't practicing the faith, but was able to sit there and think about it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I don't think I can kill someone for $250, you know. and he just walked off, and then my apprentice is just, he was speechless, you know. So that was a beautiful, an interesting story. But.
So you're like a conduit in more ways than one to these people who have no faith.
That's right. And, you know, sometimes it's the only contact they've had with someone who is practicing. And these days, someone, you know, really, you know, trying to, not perfect, but trying to live the faith. So.
Pardon the pun. I mean, you're like those pipes, you know, that you work with every day. You know, this water of grace is coming to them, and it may come to them. You know, you're gonna have an impact on these people, and they're. I mean, you may be the only gospel they'll read.
That's right.
Sometimes, you know, the pipes get blocked, and I need to go to confession every now and then.
So it's amazing because the faith does permeate every aspect of your life.
Yes.
And I mean, I know your friends. Yeah. And I know the friends that you choose, and they are very wholesome company.
We're really blessed. So, I really, even just this weekend with our daughter having made her first Holy Communion, I really was overwhelmed, you know, just by everyone, the prayers that we've had and the effort people go to make that a special day. It's amazing that God, you know, in the world that's not, you know, the areas where people aren't even practicing the faith, we really are blessed with a richness of just, there's a lot of people, you know, practicing here in Perth, and quite amazing.
Just talk about some of the things that you do with kids, I guess, homeschooling and whatnot.
Yeah, you do. So, because you do homeschooling.
That's right.
And you probably do that too, so as to kind of, preserve them from worldly conversation and the sort of vocabulary that now dominates our society, especially in public schools where, you know, the vocabulary is quite crude.
Absolutely.
And so, like, your children probably haven't heard these things yet, so you're preserving them. And once eventually they'll have to go out into the big bad world and hear these things, but due to the homeschooling, they will benefit tremendously and know how to speak and maybe even address the people who aren't, you know, acting in a very Christian way. And maybe the people that they run into won't be Christians themselves. And so it's a very wholesome environment that you're educating them in. How does that go? Is it difficult or is it easy?
It is very difficult, but I suppose in times when you are having difficult moments, I look to friends and family whose children aren't, you know, they're not homeschooling. And obviously this is our fifth baby now that we're expecting. In a large family situation, life is going to be difficult. It's not going to be, I'm not going to be sitting down drinking cups of tea and reading a book all day. So when I compare myself to people with their children at school, they have different crosses. They have, like you're saying, the peer pressure, the parties that the children are being invited to, even at a very young age, like the same as our children, year one and year two, children are going to adult concerts and it just all sorts.
It's out of control.
So our children are totally protected from that environment to enjoy, like you're saying, living the faith and enjoying the saints, being their friends. Whereas if they were at school, they would be very different to those other children. And that would be so, so difficult for them that they, you know, it's like a survival aspect almost, you know, they'd have to keep up with what the other children were doing, you know, just to fit in. So I feel at this young age that we can protect them from that environment and let them just enjoy all the treasures and blessings of the church and the liturgical year. That's something we do really try and celebrate. And like you're saying, as they get older, I know the older homeschooled children that we know, they're very confident, like you're saying, they're very confident in what they're doing themselves. And like you're saying, if the opportunity arises, they can speak up and...
Yeah, it's not a question of sheltering your children. I think it's... I like the comparison to, you know, where do you actually construct a ship, you know? You don't build a ship out in the middle of the ocean. You build a ship inside a shipyard. And as the ship takes shape, you introduce it to the ocean, you know, to be able to combat the you know, the wiles of the ocean and whatnot.
I like that analogy. I like that analogy because the analogy of a boat is very ecclesial.
Mm.
You know, it's just it kind of the boat is like a symbol of the church. Mm. And I like that very much because we're constantly battling with the waves of the world, getting tossed to and fro, and you know sometimes the water, you know, the boat starts to ship water, and there's always that danger of sinking.
Mm.
And so, like, when your children grow up, they'll be able to handle the waves.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's a beautiful analogy. Tell us a little about your prayer life and how your children handle prayer, especially at the Tridentine Mass. You take them to the Tridentine Mass,
mm-hmm.
which is a wonderful, Pope Benedict right now is promoting, you know, became Pope, he very quickly expressed his desire for the Tridentine Mass to be respected and even celebrated very frequently.
Yeah.
So you attend the Tridentine Mass yourself. You take your children there, and so this is a wonderful way to educate your children in the traditional ways of prayer. And so talk to us about your prayer life and mm-hmm. your children's prayer life, and the devotion you have to the Blessed Virgin, who's an indispensable. The indispensable mediatrix in your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, our daily rosary is important, especially, when the kids are old enough to be able to say the full rosary. We encourage that, and introduce as they get older, and they might say a decade with us, and then, you know, they start playing up, so you'd have to send them off to bed, but we obviously. That daily rosary, family rosary, is intrinsic to Catholic family life. Devotion to Our Lady is not an optional extra.
Mm-hmm.
It's intrinsic to Christian worship, as the Catechism teaches, you know. And also, from what I've found with the traditional Mass, the beauty and the reverence. Helps instill into the children this awe of the Blessed Sacrament, of our Lord, you know, coming down and becoming present in the Blessed Sacrament. There's this mystery that encourages the children in that regard, you know, and the kids are very responsive to it, you know. Like to imitate what the priest is doing and whatnot, and that's obviously a very important part of our Catholic family life, and we want to try and instill that Catholic culture, try and live the liturgical year and incorporate the liturgical year into our family life, you know, the feast days and things like that, you know, and it becomes, when Lent comes along, it's this Advent, the kids feel like that they're a lot closer united to the church in that regard, you know.
The kids do really enjoy it. I'd say things recently with, it's just been Easter, you know, the celebration of Tenebrae, things like that, whereas, like I'm saying, our children are still young, and I don't know how many children would really enjoy that, but our kids, I think because I get to go out at night, and you know, but they're really, the two older ones, they really enjoy those sorts of things, whereas, which I think is quite an old thing. I think the traditional Mass gives them that, they have an appreciation for things that others, like, would say, oh, that's a bit boring for little ones, you know, they do really love it. And there's all, you know, things like processions, the Corpus Christi procession in 2J, the children...
Mm.
They really look forward to that, you know, all those things.
Yeah. One thing, I guess, my children had never seen anyone handle the Blessed Sacrament except for a consecrated priest. You know, I think that's beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when they get to a certain age, when they understand the politics of the church, you allow them to, you know, go... experience other things in the church and whatnot, but until they're ready, you know, I'd like to try and preserve them from certain things, you know, and you don't make it a political thing, you know, you're not drumming into the children's head, you know, the bad old modern nuns and all this sort of stuff. you just want to show them the beauty of the liturgy and our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, and and instill that sort of into them, you know.
Right. Yeah. Just give them a rich beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a solid foundation, and then later on they'll, like you said. I mean, that's an idea. I think that's an ideal way to handle the children who are born into your family.
Yeah.
Because that's you give them a solid upbringing, and then later on they realize that there's certain things that other things that do exist in the church, and that the church has permitted certain other things, and say, oh, okay, well, and then and once they're of age, you'll understand and be able to assess that on
that's
their
right.
own.
Yeah.
But at
that's
least you've
right.
given them the solid foundation, and you've given them what actually the church encourages rather than what the church, the bare minimum.
That's right.
Because that's what a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of times we become complacent in our mediocrity.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're trying to give them, fervor, not in. You're trying to start them off with fervor and not with mediocrity.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because
it's not
great. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I think if anyone does go to the traditional mass or is looking at going to the traditional mass, it's important to forget about politics. The reason that we go to the traditional mass and why many people go is because they love it, full stop. And that should be your only reason for going to the traditional mass, is because you love it. Don't worry about what else is going on in the church or in the world or whatever. Go because you love our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and you want to deepen your faith as far as learning a bit about our heritage, you know, from where the new masses has sort of stemmed from, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
In regards, sorry, prior to our daily prayers, I try saying that, you know, we come together when we can, of a night time. If there's too much for the children, we'll obviously say our rosary together, but that in trying to encourage the family rosary. And also just with our, daily prayers, but so as you can just take recourse to the treasures of the church, times of, if ever, we just need extra prayers or something's happening, quite often, say novenas together. There's so many treasures and the chaplets that the church has to offer. And with the children, just trying to instill, the Angelus and the Regina Caeli. And also just, I suppose for me with the children here at home, just that constant life of prayer, to really instill in them, just to pray it all the way, that's something I'm still learning myself. But sometimes I'll even just have a card up by the dish where I do the dishes or out in the laundry, a little prayer to Our Lady. And that's something we try to instill in the children as well. It's not just, to formal prayer times, that really we do need to try and give all of our day to God.
Yeah,
and are the days where things run smoothly, So you realise at the end of a bad day,
Those devotions, like when you unite them to the church's liturgical year, I guess I heard one priest say to me one time, Troy, remember, rejoice when the church rejoices and be afflicted when the church is afflicted. Unite your joys and your sufferings with the church, And that's a beautiful thing, if you're not feeling like rejoicing and it's Easter, get over yourself and be happy,
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But there is times to also, to be reflective and solemn, during Lent and Advent and whatnot.
They're going to be like, well, okay, I've got my problems are a little bit different than theirs,
that's
but
right.
Let's see what they have to say about the problems that they have to deal with.
Mm.
How do they, when they have to face difficult situations and circumstances, what do you do?
Mm.
Do you call to mind the words of our Lord? Do you pray to Our Lady? God help me. I don't know where the money's going to come from.
Mm.
I don't know, the blokes at work are the kind of they're using crass language. What? How do you?
I guess just with those. From my experience as being in the workplace, there's all, beautiful little phrases that you can say, with if you hear someone use our Lord's name, you can make reparation, I guess, just with little phrases like, you know, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Things like that, or Our Lady by Thy Immaculate Conception.
Make my body pure
and holy, you know. We pray that pretty much every day, and we pray for our children's vocations. But I guess how does prayer sustain us? I guess I think what it does, I guess, for us is it continually, I think, it keeps your mind and your heart focused on the fact that God is not indifferent to Catholic families. He's not indifferent to people who are trying to do his will. So if you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to better your prayer life, I guess it reminds you also that God will always answer the prayer of Catholic families, and Our Lady especially. You know, when the husband and wife turn to Our Lady, you know, she's not indifferent. And you can be assured of that, you know. And I've just from my own experiences, you know, I guess that daily routine of those little prayers keep your finger on the pulse and continue to remind you that God is with you, and Our Lady is there to sustain us in our troubles, you know, with being a single income family. You know, the struggles of everyday life, bringing up children, you know, and Nari also, you know, with the amount of work she does with the kids, with homeschooling and keeping the house in order and whatnot. You need divine assistance. You need divine intervention to do that, you know.
I think also, like saying all those little prayers, like that, even if I'm, you know, when you are going through a bad stage, I realise that there's so much suffering in the world. Really, you know, we're so blessed, and our sufferings are so few. Sometimes, I suppose, for me, you're out in the world, but because I'm here with the children, you know, you get kind of trapped in your own little world and think, oh, for me, you know, I've got to do the dishes or something. Whereas, like, thank God I have got dishes to do. Thank God we have got food to put on the table. So I suppose sometimes that those trying to keep close with those little prayers and intimate with our Lord and our Lady and the Holy Family, you know, just to remind us of that, we really are. It's actually, we've been blessed with so much, we should actually be just giving thanks.
Right.
And also, everyone is going to suffer, you know. We've got the great benefit that we have got the saints and our Lord and the sacraments to turn to. We, even in our suffering, we're so blessed. So
the fact that you can, you know that regardless of what you do in life, you're going to suffer regardless, whether you live a worldly life or you're trying to live a spiritual life. And at least a Catholic suffering is of some purpose.
That's right.
And of some merit, you know. Yeah. Mm. And I guess, you know, when the kids are driving Nari crazy, there's that focus of, you know, Ave Maria, you know, offering that suffering and knowing that it's, you know, it's saving souls, you know.
Right, which is ultimately the intention that you have behind all of your suffering, because you know eventually the sufferings that you offer up in the daily grind, whatever you have to put up with at work or at home, you're offering that for the salvation of souls, particularly for your own family.
That's right.
And for others who may not have the same graces that you have. And so ultimately, see, that's what you have in mind. Basically, what you have in mind, both of you, is an eternal perspective.
That's right. Mm.
And yeah, nothing is without, everything's redemptive. Everything, yeah. Even the little actions of daily life, washing dishes, like yes. as you mentioned, yeah. even that can save souls. And you understand that very, very well.
Mm.
And whereas some people, even Catholic families, don't understand that. That's why people need to hear this.
Yes.
Because while they're washing the dishes, you know, they can be thinking of the regenerating waters of baptism, you know? You know, purify, you know, as a priest says at Mass, you know, when he's washing his hands, you know, purify me from all my iniquity. And this is how your day unfolds.
That's right.
Is with the mysteries of the faith. And nothing for you in life is trivial, which this is exactly what people need to hear. Because people's faith needs to be reinforced. Families need to be encouraged to fight the good fight and to finish the race. Mm-hmm. It's hard. There's a lot of divorces. And then there's a lot of discouragement out there, mm-hmm. you know, and people, there's a lot of, people who are
despair.
Mm. They don't want to continue, and it's hard. Mm. Even our Lord said, you know, in the garden, you know, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. So he understands our weakness. How has Our Lady been the indispensable mediatrix of all grace for you? Because she's not the number one for every Catholic, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm.
So why is she the number one mediatrix who brings you to Christ? Why would she be indispensable for your salvation? In the context of the family life,
I guess, you know, Our Lady being our fallen nature's only boast, you know, she's what we aspire to be, I guess, to a certain extent. She is full of grace. You know, we need it, and I guess you're experiencing your own weaknesses during family life. You know, you can feel her sort of motherly care and protection, and also the fact that I guess with Nari, especially in her motherhood, Nari can experience, I guess, how much she wants good things for her children. So Our Lady, obviously, how much more does she want good things for us? And, I mean, a lot of the times you don't see the things that Our Lady has done for us or interceded for us. But through I guess, being a father and Nari being a mother, you have a sense of how much Our Lady cares and whatnot. So you just know that Our Lady is interceding and Our Lord is using Our Lady, because, you know, Our Lady and Saint Joseph and Our Lord, you know, that's who we want to imitate. They're who we strive to be, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And when we experience our love for our children, you know, you can infinitely multiply that, you know, with Our Lady, and you know she's there and interceding for us, you know.
I find that really strongly. Having had our own children, it really does make you, in a different way that we did, I suppose, I find myself as a single person, you really do ponder that relationship so that, you know, that God would feel for us or Our Lady would feel for us. You understand, you know, that natural love you have for your children, like Troy's saying. Like, you know, it makes you realise the greatness God's love and Our Lady's love must be for us. You know, you really feel that. And I suppose for me, just trying to instil in the children, you know, like that, in their schoolwork and their daily lives and at their prayer times, teaching them about Our Lady's love for us. And they love to hear stories of how, you know, she's taking their little acts of sacrifices, or, you know, have a small hour to keep the temporal, all those things, you know, and she's polishing up that as a little jewel for them that they'll receive in heaven. You know, they won't remember when they get to heaven, you know, some insignificant thing they did in the day, but to Our Lord and Our Lady, their treasures.
Right.
And I find that as I try and instill that in the children, it's beautiful for me, you know, like I'm growing in my own faith because it's at such a simple level, but it's
just what we need. Yeah, it's a beautiful thought, because it's just, and I guess it kind of capsulizes the whole Marian dimension of our lives, that even before, like for example, you're carrying a child right now. That child right now doesn't have the use of reason, so it actually doesn't know right now that you are looking after it.
That's right.
Yeah. But even before we knew that Our Lady was looking after us, she was looking after
us. That's
right. Yeah. And it's a powerful thing to think about, because it's the way God works is very much the way we experience life is very much.
Yeah.
You know, God kind of built into his creation what he is. And so...
Another aspect, I guess, that I've... trying to do more is pray to St. Joseph to teach me, St. Joseph, how to love Our Lady and Our Lord, you know? but especially Our Lady, you know, to grow, to strengthen my devotion to Our Lady. And God was chose him to be the spouse of, you know, the husband of Mary, you know, and the father of our Lord, you know, foster father of our Lord. So, you know, Saint Joseph also completes the picture, you know.
Right,
but,
right.
But as a man, like, I find it beneficial to Saint Joseph, please purify my love for Our Lady and our Lord, you know. Yeah, so that's another thing. I guess Saint Joseph is also important for our own Marian sort of devotions as right. well, you know.
Well, that's a beautiful thought to end with. Well, to end here, and that's it for this interview. Thank you for allowing me to interview you,
Hello, Maria.
Troy. And Nari.
Thanks for having me.
And for the little one that's on the way, it's due Monday.
That's right, another week to
Okay,
go.
we'll be praying that everything goes well, no complications. And, yeah, so...
We might call this one Gabriel or something.
Oh, well, that'd be hugely... that'd be a huge privilege. So thank you for... thanks for this. And thank you for watching AirMaria.com and the inspiring family life of the Kiernan family. And... God bless and Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.